لك نفسي مثل أرض عديمة الماء استجم لي يا رب وأجلا فقد فنيت روحي. ربنا ولنا ومخلصنا يسوع المسيح ابن الله الحي الذي له المجد الدائم إلى الأبد آمين. وكان النهار قد بدأ أيامينا فتقدم ليل 12 وقالوا له اصرف الجمع ليذهبوا إلى القرى التي حولنا والحقول ليستريحوا ويجدوا ما يأكلوا له لأننا هنا في موضع ثلاث. فقال لهم أعطوهم أنتم ليأكلوا فقالوا ليس عندنا أكثر من 5 أرغفة وسمكتين إلا أن نذهب ونبتاع الطعام لهذا الشعب كله لأنهم كانوا نحو 5000 رجلا. فقال لتلاميذه اتكئوهم فرقا 50-50 ففعلوا هكذا وأتكأوا الجميع فأخذ الأرغفة 5 والسمكتين ونظر إلى السماء وباركها ثم كسرها وأعطى التلاميذ ليقدموا للجمع فأكلوا وشبعوا جميعا ورفعوا ما فضل عنهم من الكسر 12 كفة وأكان.
والمجد لله
السلام على امين مجد الله ولينا وتسلم كل هذا ضد الامين. بركه كبيره جدا في بركه يصلي القداس هنا في بركه مريمينا وبركه الكنيسه وبركه ابونا. احنا بالنيابه عن الاباء والشمس والكهنه والشعب في مسيساغا بنقول لابونا تقوم بالسلام وبنصلي لك وتقوم بالسلام يا واز انجليزي الحمد لله ان شاء الله. Today is the 5th Sunday. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it does happen, it's an extra blessing because we all get together on the day of the Lord and come and pray the liturgy and take communion. So the church chose for us today the gospel of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. The 5 loaves and the 2 fish, this miracle happened up north. Israel is 3 parts. There's Galilee up north, Samaria in the middle, and Jerusalem in the south. Up north in Galilee, this is where Christ did a lot of miracles. He did so many miracles. His first miracle was there. This was at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Even the second miracle he also did there. There was the son of a nobleman from Capernaum. And he asked him to go heal his son, but the man, he said, it is only enough for you to say a word and my son will be healed. So Christ said a word and the man knew that at that hour his son was healed when Christ spoke. So the fame of Jesus Christ in Galilee more than anywhere else was so great. So when people heard that he was coming to Galilee, they all gathered. We hear in the gospel a number, 5,000 families. 5,000 families gathered in this one place. And it wasn't easy for them to travel, but they all gathered in one place. And this gospel shows us how hungry the people were. When the disciples came to Christ and they told him, you've been talking for too long. People are tired, send them home. And it's getting dark, but this just shows us how hungry the people were. When Christ was talking, the people didn't care. The fathers didn't care how they're going to get their wives and their children home, where they're going to sleep, they didn't care. They were so hungry, they forgot about their physical need. They forgot about the time, they forgot about rest, they forgot about food. They forgot about everything. And this was a perfect opportunity for Christ to test his disciples, to see if they are ready for the service, they're ready for the service or not. First of all, it was very good for the disciples to consider the people. This shows us how the church is supposed to care not only about the spiritual state of her children, but also all the other needs, physical needs and social needs as well. When the disciples saw that there was a need other than the spiritual, they came and they said to Christ, there is a need. We need to fill their physical need, their hunger, so they don't faint on the way. Christ told them, you give them something to eat. This is the system that Christ put on earth. The system of the church. He said, the church, you give your children to eat. I could give them to eat, but this is how I want it to be done. The church, you feed the children. You feed the children. So, 5,000 men and the disciples come up to Christ and they say, send them home. Send them home. They're tired, they don't want to hear anymore. But Christ told them, no, this is not true. Look for yourselves and you see the multitude. It's so many people, it's so big. St. Paul said the same thing one time to God when he was serving in Corinth. Corinth was a city that was very, very bad. This city was full of sin and idolatry. And St. Paul almost gave up. And he said to God, these people are hopeless. There's no hope in them. I'm going to leave. And God told him, don't leave. There are still 7,000 men who have not bowed down to idols. 7,000. Whenever we look around, especially for the youth, when we're coming to the beginning of the school year, we look around and every boy has a girlfriend and every girl has a boyfriend in school around us. And the boys and the girls, our boys and our girls say, everybody's doing it. And we have to tell them, look at St. Paul in Corinth. No, not everybody's doing it. There are still people who are fighting. There are still people who are striving to maintain their integrity, maintain their purity, maintain their righteousness. Not everybody has given in to temptation. Where shall we buy food for all these people? Where shall we buy food for all these people? This is what Christ asked Philip, one of his disciples. Philip is originally from this area. He's originally from Galilee. So Philip should know where all the stores are, where all the people to buy food, to buy bread, to buy food from, to buy everything from. He should know. He's from this area. So Christ goes to ask him, Philip, what do you think? What do you think? Philip didn't do so well on this test. He said to Christ, not even the wages of 8 months work would feed these people a bite of bread each. 200 denarii is not even enough to feed these people, bread alone. It is not enough. Philip failed the test. This Philip was with Christ when the disciples came to him, when the disciples came to Philip, and they said to him, he came to his brother Nathaniel, and he said to him, you know what? We found the one Moses is talking about. We found the Messiah. We found him. Philip, he's the one that went and said, we found the Messiah. We found Christ. He believed before anyone else. He's the one that went and brought the other disciples to Christ. He's the one that went and brought the other disciples to Christ. And Christ is testing him. How is your faith now? Is it increased? Is it still the same or decreased? Philip forgot who he's dealing with, who he's talking with. And he said, no, the money is not enough. We cannot purchase enough to feed all these people. Christ said, okay, test number one, you guys failed. Have them sit down in groups of 50. Have them sit down in groups of 50. Another disciple came named Andrew, and he said, there's this boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but this is not enough, nowhere near enough to feed 5,000 families. There's no way. And he said to him, Andrew, give me the 5 loaves and give me the 5 fish. He blessed them and he gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fish back to Andrew and back to the disciples and said, you give them. distribute. He could have given it to them directly, to the people. It was a miracle anyways. The 5 loaves and 2 fish, somehow they end up feeding 5,000. It was a miracle. So why not just complete the miracle and the fish and the bread just appear in front of each person? No. Or come down from heaven, as he did in the Old Testament. He said no. Their faith is too important to just bypass. This is important. You give them the of this fish and of this bread to eat. You saw that the fish was only 5 and the bread was only 2 loaves. There was not enough. You saw, and you are also going to see that it will be enough to feed the 5,000, to feed the multitudes. You have to see this. That church is going to be your responsibility. You must see that whatever you have, I will bless. And I will make it enough to feed whatever needs the church might face. How far will the 5 loaves and the 2 fish go? The disciples asked, and they saw. Christ didn't just tell them, no, they saw with themselves. They felt. Each disciple carried a bag of leftover fragments. Leftover fragments. Each disciple had to carry one to feel the weight. To feel the weight of this miracle. To feel the blessing. Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. As much as God gives the church and gives us, it doesn't mean that we take this blessing or these gifts lightly. Yes, He gives us so much. But each gift and each blessing is so calculated by God. He gives it to us just an amount we need. Just an amount we need. So that we don't be wasteful. And we don't take it lightly. When Christ gave the disciples, He gave them just enough for the people to eat. And just enough to have one leftover basket for each disciple to carry. And He said, let nothing be wasted. My blessing, I give it to the church, but not for the church to waste, but to appreciate. This miracle was very important in the service of Christ. Not only does it show the concern of the disciples for the people, or that God is always going to provide for the church, but it also shows the relationship between God and His disciples, God and His children. There's a direct relationship between God and His children. He says, I know what you need. Before you even ask, I will give. I will answer. Before you even call me. The relationship between God and His children cannot be separated. Cannot be broken. All He's asking is, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. He knows what we need, and He knows when we need them. And He even knows how we need them. If He gives it to us in a certain way, we might not appreciate it. We might not be able to use it. He knows how to give it to us and in what time to give it to us. This relationship between God and His children, is something wonderful. He said, just as my relationship with the church is, my relationship with the children is, I want this relationship to be the same between the husband and the wife. Between the husband and the wife. The husband and the wife, when they become one in the matrimony, in the sacrament of matrimony, what happens is something wonderful. We attend so many weddings that are not our own. People who get married, but they still can attend weddings. And even before they get married, they can still attend weddings. And it's not just, to share in the joy of the new couple, but to learn that the relationship between the husband and the wife, the bride and the groom, This relationship cannot be separated. What God has joined, St. Paul tells us, no man can break, can put asunder. No man can break. This relationship is a sacrificial relationship. As Christ died for the church, the husband dies for his wife and for his family. And for his family. We all, when we attend any ceremony of the matrimony, of course, the sacrament, we hear St. Paul says the husband submit to the wife and the wife submit to the husband. Well, we don't hear this. What do we usually hear? Well, we're not listening. We're looking at the dresses and the decorations. Oh, the part actually that we read just says that the wife submits to the husband. But to be fair, St. Paul said both submit to one another, submit to each other. And usually, it depends on who's reading the Pauline epistle during the ceremony. The ceremony, it depends. Sometimes a deacon comes up to read, and usually, and if this deacon is not married, usually he reads it loud. It says, wives, submit your husbands. But if he's married, he knows better. He knows that he should read it. But Raha, it says, wives, submit your husband. Because right before he knows that, husbands, submit your wife. And it's not a relationship where there's a master and there's a slave. It is a relationship of love where each spouse submits to the other one and tends to the needs of the other one. So just as God, He wants to illustrate to us this relationship between Himself and His children, He says, your needs are my priority. This is my concern, my greatest concern. I don't need you to have to tell me your needs. I know them already. Before you even think of them, or before you even realize them, I know your needs. I know them. Your ultimate need is to be with me for all eternity. But on the way there, you're gonna face many other needs. And each one of these needs, I will meet. Each one of these needs, I am the only answer. And I'm the only source to fill these needs. No one else can fill your needs. And no one else can even sympathize or realize your needs. We all want to pray during the liturgy for the safe return or the health of Abuna Matias. Tell him, Abuna, Abuna bis salam, inshaAllah. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.